SMQBs, it's episode 180, which is exactly what I'm hoping the Commander season does after this week, is a 180, because otherwise it's going to be a long preseason for us looking toward next year.
You look great.
You're about to get better next weekend. Don't worry, Bison.
We're going to talk about that later. Hey, Brewster, who are you bringing to the bar this week?
Well, speaking of that, I'm going to bring John Mara to the bar.
Oh, boy.
And first I want to know, I want him to tell me who in the hell authorized the uniforms worn in game one by the Giants. And secondly, I'm going to tell him I am your man to be GM.
Wow.
Lifelong fan.
Wow.
Just ignore my Plaxico record. Other than that, I'm solid.
Would you be able to still do the pod, or you don't think so? Probably not.
Oh, yeah.
No,
it would have to be a condition of my.
You'd have a lot of work to do. So you're probably not going to have a lot of time.
I'd have to carve out.
Well, I like that, Rooster. And you know what? I'm going to follow you because you're not going to be the only one bringing an owner to the bar this week. I am going to bring one Jared Jones to the bar and feed him all the champagne that he wants. Only the best stuff for Mr. Jerry Jones for locking up Dak and doing the NFC East the real solid and investing all that money in Dakota Prescott. So Jerry, drinks are on me this week, my friend. They are on me. Milt, what do you got?
I'm taking Thomas Hammack, head coach of Northern Illinois, who went into South Bend on Saturday and shocked the world as a 28.5-point underdog. Notre Dame has 58, I counted this up, saw the stat, 5-star or 4-star players, the majority 4-star. NIU has 0. And they won that game outright. I mean,
you know what NIU has? Guys who've played together for 3 to 5 years.
Exactly. I saw that story today that he had put in all this time keeping these guys there over the off season. And it paid off. Culture pays off.
Yeah.
Unlike what's happening in Boulder.
And Gainesville.
Hey, no, we got a new quarterback on that. All good.
House, what do you got? Who are you bringing in?
Deion Sanders, your 15 minutes of coaching fame are up. And so you might as well have a drink with me at the bar. It's not prime time for you. It's not lunchtime. It's not breakfast time. There is no time left for you, buddy. Sell those fancy sunglasses while you can. Your private coaching of Shiloh, Shador, and Travis is over.
He's a fraud. I hate to say it. He's a fraud.
It's bad.
Yikes. All right. That'll be interesting time sitting around the bar this week. House, week one is almost in the books. We got one more game tonight, but
I feel like
talk a little NFL.
You guys, doesn't it feel like it's been like weeks of football have been played? I don't know. To me, it doesn't seem like
it. Almost is a little annoying. I feel like I've been watching like too much NFL, like between Thursday night, Friday night, and then being able to watch 9 games at a time on one TV. Like it actually was a little obnoxious.
They need to get my time night football.
My time on the couch yesterday, I think must be a little bit like what the sailors felt like after they got off the boat in World War II. You know, like we got football again. Let's go.
Pope has a bed sore.
I mean, does that have anything to do with the NFL?
This is one of our favorite weeks that we do on the pod. It is NFL week one overreactions. We say this, I think, every year, and it remains the case. As long as these teams choose not to play their first team players in preseason, this is what you get in week one. We've all been floating the stats back and forth to one another today of just the putrid amount of passing yardage, average passing yardage in the league yesterday, the number of touchdowns thrown. There were three rookie quarterbacks that started yesterday. Not one of them threw a passing touchdown. I saw a funny tweet today that said probably the quarterback who had the best, the rookie quarterback who had the best day yesterday was probably Michael Penix. watching that
McCarthy,
watching that Falcons performance. But yeah, I mean, look,
I
there were a
disagree
lot
with that, but anyway,
I think your guy had a good day, Bryson.
Cool. Yeah, oh, Jade. Well, we're going to get there, but yeah. Let me just throw out a couple surprises for you. No matter how bad you can say the Carolina Panthers are, and they are bad, and Bryce Young might be a legendary bust in the NFL. 47 points by any NFL team in week one is impressive. I think the Saints actually have talent. Milk, circle that date in the calendar. That may be the NFC South team you need to worry about is the Saints. Laugh it off, but that I think they have talent.
Absolutely. I do think the Panthers could be historically bad. I'm just not sure. I think it's an overreaction.
Kamara looks like he's his old self again.
Yeah.
Yes, he had spring in his step. I know the Giants are bad, but I think Sam Darnold looked like he could play NFL quarterback yesterday. I think the Vikings might be able to get through this for a while. They've got some talent. I know the Giants are not a measure. I was surprised by the Vikings yesterday. Did anybody else get a little surprised from the Vikings?
No.
I think I commented on one text. I think I said that, you know, Kevin O'Connell must be a hell of a coach because he had that team ready to go and he had Sam Darnold look like a professional quarterback. And I'm not sure that anybody else in the NFL can say that. So I don't know. I think he's a pretty good play caller. And
Sam Darnold had a streak maybe 2 years ago with the Panthers where he looked damn good for several games.
Yeah, he'll...
If you think of Kevin O'Connell, by the way, Kirk Cousins owes him like probably $100 million because O'Connell was his quarterback coach in Washington, right? And so every contract that Kirk Cousins has gotten has been because of Kevin O'Connell, and now maybe Sam Darnold's falling into the same good situation with him as a quarterback whisperer.
But are we overreacting here? I mean,
yes, that's what today's for.
That's right.
I don't think it's an overreaction to say that the Giants and the Panthers suck ass, and there's no way either one of those teams, after just watching them for 1 week, is making the playoffs, period.
Right.
I think that's not an overreaction. Playoffs. I think that's
a fact.
Yeah, that's a fact.
Playoffs.
But I'll tell you what else I was surprised
by.
I was surprised by the disparity between the Cowboys and the Browns. I was surprised by how bad the Browns were and how bad Deshaun is and how bad that team was overall yesterday at home. And I was surprised, given what I said at the outset about, you know, first team players not playing the preseason, the Cowboys were in midseason form against a good defense yesterday. Micah Parsons is the number one unstoppable defensive player in the NFL. Whenever he wants to get to the quarterback, he can get there.
I don't know. Did you see Hutchinson?
Hutchinson was good too, and Bosa was good too. They're definitely in the top three, but Parsons is just an animal. And he changes offenses on any play that he wants to change it. But I was surprised how good the Cowboys. I just thought that they were going to be really bad with not an effective running game. But they had it all going yesterday. Offense, defense, everything.
Did you hear Deshaun came out today and said his dad died last week and so did his good friend. And that's the reason why he had a terrible game.
Okay, well, he got sued again today for another allegation of sexual assault.
No, he did?
So he'll have an excuse for week two, I guess.
You know, but after the excuses run out, I think the Browns are in crisis. They're in actual crisis because they've locked up so much money in this guy. And unlike the good teams who know how to rebound from a mistake like that, think San Francisco and Trey Lance, and now they haven't even missed a beat. Teams like the Browns and the Giants who lock up bad quarterbacks with big contracts, they've doomed the franchise for many, many years.
It's true.
Do you know what the hit would be if they released him next year?
I can't even imagine.
Like 100.
Very big.
$180 million, I heard.
Oh, my God. I mean, they have no choice.
One year cap hit.
Just do it. Just bite the bullet, move on. I mean, the comparisons this morning between, I think, the 42 passer rating for Deshaun Watson and the 144 passer rating for Baker, who was ceremoniously just kicked out of Cleveland. If you're a Browns fan watching what Baker's doing, it's got to be. Listen, all you have to do is watch what Joe Flacco was succeeding with that team last year. Deshaun is a bad quarterback.
He
didn't have Chubb either.
He just doesn't have it. Sorry, yeah. Milk, you go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I just said that he didn't have Nick Chubb. I mean, Flacco had the same team.
That's right.
Missing just as many players. I don't know.
Yeah, Jerome Ford had a nice year last year with Flacco as quarterback.
So some gamer losers that I don't think should be terribly upset. There are some teams that lost this weekend that should not be upset. I think the Jaguars, the Cardinals, and depending on how quickly Jordan Love gets back, the Packers. Those are three very good teams with a lot of talent. Rooster called it that the Cardinals would be back in a much better shape this year than last year. I think he nailed that one. The Jags have a really good defense. I mean, holding Miami to 20 points, the Jags could have easily won that game.
Yeah, it's on the ball over.
Yeah, Etienne fumbling the ball.
Etienne's fumble just crushed him.
Can we go early in the pod today and recognize the greatest touchdown celebration of the NFL season already?
Which one?
That has to go to Tyreek for getting handcuffed in the end zone.
Yep.
I know we could probably punch Chris Collinsworth every single week, but Chris Collinsworth made an asinine comment last night about this. I think Stafford was scrambling backwards and made some throw off of his back foot when he was about to be sacked. And it was about a 10-yard completion. And he said that is the best pass of the year. That won't even be the best pass of the day. What Anthony Richardson put up yesterday on that pass that traveled about 65 yards in the air that Milk drafted late in the IBFFL draft, that guy who went to Florida and played 1 year of college football. And Milk, you can say, I told you all along, even though you couldn't have possibly known it.
He did not say, I told you. He said he was going to be a bust.
I did say he was going to be a bust.
He said he had like 13 games under his belt.
That throw was insane.
Bad pick.
And then I forgot that Billy Napier coached him. So
that throw was insane. It was a dot.
He's solid, guys. They lost that game, but the Texans. Hell, I wouldn't be. I would put the Texans in the Super Bowl right now. I mean, I know the Chiefs are the best, but
by the way, the Cardinals could have won too if it weren't for a couple of drop passes.
Cardinals could have won, and we can go all the way back. Seems like forever ago to Thursday night. The Ravens shouldn't be hanging their head either. By about, I don't know, half an inch of a toe of Isaiah Likely in the back of the end zone, that game is otherwise over. So, you know, the Ravens are a loser. The Cardinals are a loser. The Colts are a loser. The Jags are a loser. All those teams are going to be just fine. Just fine.
Packers. I think the Packers probably need to pick up Ryan Tannehill or somebody like him for 3 weeks or 4 weeks, because Malik isn't going to get it done as the starting quarterback. The guy from Liberty.
How long is he out for?
Well,
Three to four weeks. That's what they're saying. Is Tannehill available?
Yeah.
Yes.
Tannehill.
So
he's available.
Let's talk about the biggest surprise, the biggest shock, the biggest, I don't even know what the hell. I mean, they started out slow last year, but what the hell with the Bengals? I mean, Shocking. What the hell?
Shocking.
Is it Joe Burrow's wrists? Is it Joe Mixon missing? Is it T. Higgins being out? Is it Gerard Mayo can coach a defense on the Patriots? Is it that Jacoby Brissett can, you know, manage a game? What is, how did that happen?
That coach never has that team ready early in the year. The whole Jamar Chase thing had the whole team distracted. I mean, if you're going to sign him, sign him. If not, don't. But when you have the player saying, I may or may not play, it's up to me. How's Burrow supposed to even get ready for that game?
I think this Burrow injury is, I said it last week, I think it's a bigger deal. I said it last week and I still fucking bet on Cincinnati. So, you know, I ain't dumb bald. But I mean, did he throw any long balls?
No, he looked like balls? He did look like he was afraid to throw the long ball.
I think that's sure serious. I don't know. I'm worried about him. I think that's a bigger injury than they're letting on.
They definitely miss Joe Mixon.
Yes.
Neither Zach Moss nor Chase
Brown
come close but to filling his shoes.
And you know the other thing, too. One of you guys, I think, Rooster, you just said it. What's the coach's name? Zach Taylor? Is that his name, Zach Taylor?
Yeah.
Since he became coach, people have said, eeks, is he really the right guy to have, you know, the keys to this, you know, Ferrari? I think I said it yesterday in text. Hello, Bill Belichick.
I mean, he took him to a Super Bowl.
He wasn't a Super Bowl.
He's a good second half coach. He just needs to get his shit together early.
I'm not giving up on the Bengals just yet. They get some injuries back. They had a horrible, was it a punt return they fumbled? There was a
kickoff.
Fumbled. What's his name? Mike Gesicki fumbled, or the other tight end fumbled going into the end zone.
Right.
He dropped a touchdown pass or was a little bit out of bounds. I mean, it was just, they had a lot.
Everything that possibly could have gone wrong went wrong. Of course, because we took him on the survivor pick pool. But yeah, I don't know if this is going to be a disastrous year. By the way, I saw something where the Bengals basically lose every first game, like every year. For like the last 5 years. So
good research by us to bet on him.
Yeah.
Why did we put him? Oh, God.
So
the Patriots just look so bad. And they were a big surprise, I think.
Big surprise.
Totally.
I think given the spread, I think given that Baker is Baker, I think given the preseason excitement of Jaden Daniels, I think the Bucs go in the category of a surprise. I mean, they dominated. You said
they
it.
They dominated the Commanders' defense for sure.
You told me to lay heavy on it. I didn't listen to you because I didn't trust you because Arizona Saturday night. But you told me to lay heavy on the Bucs. I didn't do it, and I should have because the Bucs destroyed them.
Yeah, that was a good bet. And Bucs would go in with me.
How about that Mike Evans catch?
Baker and Evans, I mean, he threw some unbelievable plays, and Evans and Godwin really, I mean, they dominated the Commanders.
I mean, Baker was fun. I'll even say he was fun to watch yesterday. But I told you Mike Evans could have 250 yards receiving against that secondary.
Yeah.
I mean, that I don't think that was much of a surprise. I was a little surprised how good Baker was.
He looked good. His scrambling. Yeah. Just some of the things he got out of that were, I thought, first sacks. But I don't know. Again, I don't know how bad Washington's defense is.
I'm going to go one step farther and say that the Bucs may be the most disrespected team in the league, at least among this podcast.
Not me, baby.
They've made the playoffs four straight years.
Shitty division.
Talk like they suck.
Yeah, I don't know about that. Yeah.
Well, I'll say this about, you know, is this Baker's second year as a starter?
Yes. He looked like
a guy who knew how to run the offense and who knew
he has a ton of weapons.
And yeah, and they're all
bad. If you have Bucky on your fantasy team,
baby,
like Rooster does,
like I do.
Rashad White cannot run the football.
Who led the team in rushing?
Milk.
Who led the team in rushing week one?
He's going to be our starter, I'm telling you, by midseason.
Milk, you screwed me. On draft day, the fantasy draft, you said my Rashad White was my best pick of the draft. You screwed me.
No, he did okay. He's going to get a lot of passes out of the backfield. He had some good yardage.
He's not an RB1.
He's not an RB1. He averages 2 yards a carry. We lost 3 guys in the secondary, by the way, in that game. I think the Lions are going to manhandle us next weekend, but you know, we'll see.
So Harbaugh's back to coaching. Jim Harbaugh's back to coaching, and I thought they had a nice game. I know, again, the Raiders aren't the biggest measure ever, but Minshew didn't look that terrible. What the difference was for me is they had that big, huge offensive lineman they drafted in the first round, Joe Alt, who completely shut down one of the most dominant defensive players in the NFL, Max Crosby. I mean, Alt shut him down. And if that is what Herbert has, that is going to make a big, big difference to his future. That was another impressive thing that I thought, maybe the Chargers will be okay now that Herbert's got some protection.
How about the tight end play by the rookie and the second year tight end for the Raiders, Brock Bauer and Mayer.
Oh, yeah.
Mayer.
Yeah.
From Notre Dame. They both looked fantastic.
Yeah.
Okay. Can we just say that if you're talking about the tight end play on an offense, you're probably going to have a pretty dismal season, though. I mean, if that's really where you're going.
They were getting Devontae Adams open, too.
Well, okay.
This is just a level of sophistication that most other podcasts don't bring.
Yeah, I realize you haven't had a tight end since the 70s, but...
that may be true. So.
But we can all agree that the star of the week... The star of the weekend was Saquon, right? We can agree on that.
God. Oh, don't even. God, don't get me.
I mean,
Saquon and fuck, Racer has 3 touchdowns, the Giants 0. Saquon 3, Giants 0. I think at the end of the year, he still may be up in that match.
I think I saw
that. That's a good bet.
I saw a stat that Saquon had 1 day with the Giants that, with the Eagles being a game over 500, has equaled the number of days Saquon had over 500 with the Giants. 1 day.
No, that can't be right.
Yes.
One. 2 years ago.
Yeah. Well, they were like, whatever. They were 9-8.
That could be.
Listen, this is...
I think that'd be a great bet. What week do the Giants catch Saquon in touchdowns?
This brings me back to my trip to the bar with John Mara. I blame Hard Knocks for him being a pussy about this. He didn't want to look bad on television. But God damn it, you, Shane locks up Danny Dimes, who has never been a good quarterback. It wasn't his draft pick. It was a terrible draft pick. But you got the guy on a rookie quarterback. Don't extend bad quarterbacks. Get rid of him. Just get rid of him like the San Francisco 49ers did. Instead, $160 million. So that now we can't afford Saquon or Xavier McDaniel, the safety from Alabama. So in the Thursday night game, you've got Xavier playing safety for the Panthers. He makes an all-pro level interception. And Saquon... Yeah. Scores, I mean, against the Packers, and Saquon scores fucking 3 touchdowns for the Eagles. I'd take either one of those guys right now for Daniel Jones. Just the same
worst moves ever.
Safety back, and you can have Daniel Jones.
It's pretty remarkable. We lost 37-21 or whatever, 37-20 yesterday, and I feel like we have the second best future in the NFC East.
Wonder if the Packers would make that trade. I wonder if the Packers would trade Xavier McKinney for Daniel Jones now that they don't have a quarterback.
Do it.
I don't think they would do it.
I don't think so.
I think your future is bright, man. I think your quarterback played with confidence. He looked smooth in the pocket. He didn't have happy feet. He didn't look scared like the other rookies. He wasn't drifting out of the pocket. It's just a shaky start. He's gonna be fine.
If he lives. I'm not worried. I'm not worried about him. Right.
He has a tendency though to
Gumby.
Yeah. He might get clobbered.
Yeah.
There's a lot of running on
way too many runs.
And he needs to learn how to slide for God's sake.
Got to hit Terry McLaurin.
He does head first slides. He's going to get killed.
I mean, look, it was too many runs, but the only thing I'll say about his runs were they were not planned runs. And like Rooster said, they were not like scrambling for his life kind of runs. They were, it looked like he at least got through a progression and saw an opening. I mean, he picked up a lot of yards on those runs. They were probably the right decision when he took off. And when he did take off, he put the ball down and went. He was decisive about it. But that's not an offense. You can't run an offense that way. I mean, they didn't run the ball. You know, they don't have anybody to throw to. So I mean, your rookie quarterback can't be the 99% of your offense. Now, Brian Robinson played okay.
Yeah.
He's a tough back, man. He is really a tough guy. But there's not a lot to like there on that offense.
So three rookie quarterbacks played yesterday. Bo Nix, Jaden Daniels, and Caleb Williams. Yep. Rank them. What order do you guys put the three performances in?
Jaden Daniels, one.
Caleb, and so.
I thought Bo Nix looked okay. I thought Caleb looked the worst out of the three of them. I really do.
I agree. I have Caleb at three.
The ceiling is still through the roof.
For sure.
That's fine, but. I mean,
the guy threw for 93 yards. Jinx.
Yeah, I know.
He was not. He out of the three of them, he looked like he had the least management of the game, and the least right decision making. I thought Nix looked okay.
And he probably has the best weapon, right? Caleb has
for
the
sure.
best weapons.
Although Adunze
for sure. We'll see. It'll be fun. I get that. So that's it. I don't know if you guys have
think
anything
was
else
the
for
most...
week one.
Who do you guys think was the most overhyped team in the offseason?
Overhyped team. That's a good question. I would say overhyped team. Well, I guess the Lions were pretty hyped.
They're playing a playoff team, though. Yeah. I mean, the Rams are probably a playoff team.
Yeah, they are a playoff team. How about the Falcons?
Yeah, they were all overhyped. You're right.
Were they hyped?
The Falcons were terrible yesterday, and everyone thought their, including me, thought their offense was going to be, you know, like putting up massive numbers.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah. What about, Cleveland? There was a lot of hope for Cleveland.
Yeah, they're definitely overhyped.
I feel like the teams that were supposed to win won, right? Like, I mean, Baltimore and Kansas City, someone had to lose, and no one's worried about Baltimore.
No.
KC looked good. Philly, you know, unfortunately, is probably back to being good again. Fuck. And yeah, I mean, Miami pulled it off.
Other than the Bengals, who were a favorite, I think the Titans were a favorite. I think one of the only favorites that lost, the Browns were a 2.5-point favorite over the Cowboys. That was the big one.
That made no sense.
Why didn't I bet that game?
I mean, I don't even think you can talk too badly about the Bills. You know, that game was too close, but I think Arizona might be decent this year.
I like Arizona.
Yeah, I don't think
they got a good. Yeah, Kyler Murray. Everyone hates Kyler Murray.
There was all this talk about Harrison, but the kid who had a great game was the other kid, Dortch, had a fantastic game. So he's got this kid, Dortch. He's got Harrison.
Connor looked good.
Connor looked good. And Trey McBride is a top five tight end now, top three tight end.
Benton had a great game.
I think the two teams that you have to worry about the season slipping away the quickest on are the Packers because of the injury.
Sure.
What's the other one that I was going to say? The Bengals.
Bengals' schedule is tough.
They're going to Kansas City next week.
4-2. Games.
Those are the two teams I think that really, like, they're on the precipice right now of having their seasons go in the toilet.
It sucks, too, for Green Bay because they're a very good team. And it would suck just because they don't have a quarterback now.
Yeah. And because I have Josh Jacobs on my fantasy team. But maybe he's going to get a lot more touches now.
That's a shame.
Probably should.
That's too bad. Maybe you shouldn't have changed your name.
I think I'm winning this week, so I'm not okay. Winning.
Who did the Steelers beat?
Steelers beat the Falcons with six field goals.
Right.
That's that team. That I don't care. Pittsburgh may only win four games this year.
No way. No way. Tomlin is getting his nine games. He's not going to have a losing season. That dude.
You're right.
He's unbelievable.
It's unbelievable. He will have nine wins.
I'm starting to think that Russell Wilson's master plan is to just not play. He's just hurt. Just to say he's hurt, not play, and not have to face the humiliation of losing the job to Justin Fields and blowing his Hall of Fame chances.
Packers would take either one of them. Packers would take Wilson or Fields.
All right, so let's play a little bit of a quick game right here. I'm coming up with this on the fly, so let's see how it goes. All right, after week one, you'd rather be the Eagles or the Cowboys?
The Eagles.
The Eagles.
Okay. Why? House, why?
You have Saquon. You have, I mean, the weapons are unbelievable. You have Saquon. Right. And Dak Prescott isn't in your future.
All right. Yeah, that's a big one. All right.
And your first game was against the quality team, whereas the Browns were surprisingly bad.
All right. After week one, Milk, you'd rather be the Bengals or the Packers?
Oh, God. I think I'd rather be the Packers. Because even if, let's say they lose the next three games, or I guess, no, you don't want that. At least Jordan Love might come back in a month. Bengals seem hopeless. I don't know.
All right. House, you'd rather be the Rams or the Bucks?
Ooh.
Well, because Puka Nacua is week to week, I'd rather be the Bucks. I'd rather be the Bucks. They're a good team.
All right. And after week one, Rooster, you'd rather be the Jags or the Commanders?
That's so easy.
For the rest of the year or forever?
Yes. For the season.
Jags?
For the season, I'll take the Jags.
Come on.
All right.
They're a good team.
Well, they're 0-1, just like the Commanders are. So
you would have had to go on that multiple choice for a while until there was somebody I'd rather be than the Commanders.
That's probably true. Yeah. Commanders or the Panthers. That's about the only one.
Commanders.
Win, or Giants or the Giants.
Commanders.
Yeah. All right. What else we have on NFL? You guys got
anything
else?
We got to get to a couple things to go.
Do. Yeah. All right. Let's see the Plaxicus.
You guys, I have unbelievable news for all those people that would not go to the bank to take out money to bet on the SMQBs. Your fortunes have changed. We are good. We are good. We went 4-1 this week. And I'm going to tell you. We won four.
Who lost?
Oh, Rooster had a
rough. He's not here. Yeah. Oh, no, Rooster.
Who did you take, Rooster?
The Bengals over the Pats.
Well, 8.5 was a lot, but yeah. So Milk covered with -3.5 over Washington, Pope -3.5 over the Rams, Bison took Cowboys +2.5 against the Browns, and House took -4 over Carolina. So here we are. Thanks. We are in week two. Who wants to get us started?
I got it. I'm taking the Commanders, given 2.5 against the Giants.
Do you have that line at 2.5?
That's what I see. Right? I'm looking at the score.
I did too.
Right now.
Yeah.
Because I thought
Commanders -2.5. Yeah.
That's what I have. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm going to back that up and take the same. I'm going to take the Commanders too. I bet against any teams that are just going into an absolute train wreck.
Okay.
I like Washington at home.
Rooster?
Sorry, Rooster. Sorry.
So, no, don't be sorry. Since I am now officially rooting for a winless season so that we can draft a quarterback, that's my
Commanders? Yes.
Wow.
Well, Commander, this will never happen again.
Wow. Loss. I don't know what to say. I feel like I need to change.
Oh my God. It's probably a good bet, but I'm gonna shake it up a little bit. I'm gonna tell you right now that Pope has got the Texans -6.5 over the Bears, which is probably it's a pretty good bet. But I'm gonna shock the world here. I have got getting 6.5 points, Tampa Bay Buccaneers at the Lions.
Don't do it.
Tampa is going to cover that. That game is going to be closer than he gets it.
Dude, we've lost three DBs. Don't do it.
Tampa +6.5. Lock it up, everybody. You'll make a lot of money. Do it. Do it. You can thank Milk for it later.
All right. I warned you.
All right. Oh, boy. That's going to be interesting. All right, I've got our first SMQB parlay. This is now. Look, there's probably a 1-800 number somewhere if you have a gambling problem.
Right,
Milk, do you want to run this through everybody? I'm sure you have them on.
Give Natalie's cell phone number.
Yeah, exactly.
1-800-732.
I think, Milk, this is my three bet parlay for week two. Okay, you're taking the under. 43.5 is the number. You're taking the under in the Giants Commanders. You're taking the Rams getting 1.5 against the Cardinals. And you're adding into that the Seahawks giving 3.5 at New England. And that gets you +596. So $50 bet to make about $300 on that. So we got the under 43.5 in the Giants Commanders, taking the Rams getting 1.5 and the Seahawks giving 3.5. That's your three leg parlay for this week.
All right. I'm on board with it.
You like that one, Milk?
Yeah. Why not?
Why not?
I'll do that.
All right.
Put me down for 20.
He said 50.
I just said that's what you get. You turn 50 into 300. So.
Right.
All right, I'll do 50.
Easy money.
All right, let's see what happens on that. And we'll probably be hearing from some regulatory body soon enough here. But this may be the only week we do a parlay. We'll have to consult legal soon. Anything else on week one?
It's a good way. Good way to use our sponsorship money is on legal.
Yeah. anybody got anything else on week one?
That's it.
All right, who's got a punch? Call it a comeback. Oh, I do. I have two
also. Go ahead.
All right.
Go for it.
Well, number one, I mean, I want to punch Fox for the Tom Brady first game in the booth hype video.
Thank you.
Fucking kidding me.
Thank you.
I mean, I am not a Brady hater like you are, House. And that's why I'm punching Fox. But are you fucking kidding me? When has there ever been a hype ad for a guy's first game as a broadcaster? By the way, he sucked ass.
He did.
Was it bad?
He sucked.
Yes. Yeah.
He was a robot. He was a total robot.
Did you?
He was bad.
Even Tony Romo commented on it.
What kind of like work is he getting done up top? Well, he looks weird.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like, max headroom.
There's a lot of surgery going on, I think.
Yeah. All right. And I'm going to give you my second punch. And that is the New England Patriots for giving a Gatorade bath.
Oh, come
to
on.
Coach for winning week one of an NFL.
Wow.
Oh, that's a rookie.
That was an upset.
That's bullshit. Nice. That's somebody who bet on the Bengals.
Give him a fucking game ball. That's all he needs. The Gatorade bath. Jeez. I mean, Milk, did you bet on the color of the Gatorade for DeMeco Ryan's first, win? I didn't. I don't know. I mean, by the way, it was blue, but I mean, come the fuck on.
It's Gerard Mayo.
Player, whatever his name is. Yeah. come on, guys. Act like you've been there before, for fuck's sake.
That's funny.
Tragic. House, what do you got?
I have to punch the NFL. The Brazil thing was a debacle. There was nothing. Yeah. There was nothing good about it. You guys have already said we don't really need NFL. As much as I want NFL every night, we don't need it Friday night. the field was deplorable. I mean, players on both sides, there were so many plays in that game that were materially affected by the condition of that field. The game could have gone a different way either way. Jordan Love slipped a lot. Their players were slipping all over the place. It was terrible. The crowd wasn't into it other than doing the wave. The players didn't feel like being there. They didn't feel safe to be there. They didn't bring their families there. There was nothing that felt like, ooh, this is cool. Like, we've exported football to Brazil. Last week, we gave it a slap, said that a punch would come. A punch is coming. I'm punching.
By the way, it just proves that the NFL doesn't give a damn about player safety.
Totally true. Totally true.
It's you know, it's the definition of pigs get fat and hogs get slaughtered, right? You know, the NFL is making a lot of fucking money. You don't need to go into every country on the globe and play a game to try and sell 1 week's worth of merchandise.
And if you're going to do it, bring your own damn grounds crew.
Yeah. Yeah. Excited for NFL Indonesia. All right. I am going to punt. I'm going to punch Kevin Boytman, Mark Warner, Quentin Givens, Joel Wetzel, Edward Vinzant, and Mario Seneca. They are the Big 12 officiating crew that screwed Tulane out of...
Oh, boy.
I know it's a homer. I know it's a homer call, but though that no one agrees with that OPI call. It's a story on Sports Illustrated. It's a story that... screwed a team out of beating a top 15 team in the country. By the way, I didn't punch Eric Carmouche, the linesman, because you can see him. He called the touchdown. He had the best look at it and didn't call a flag. I'm so pissed off. All those guys. You think I'm a homer? Talk about homerism. The Big 12 officiating crew protecting their own. You're being punched, every single one of you.
All right. You get another chance this weekend. You get another chance.
Yes,
it's a very overrated Oklahoma team.
We'll see what happens.
All right, any more punches?
That's enough, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, my blood pressure down.
Violent.
All right, how about a lasso?
Barbecue sauce.
I have one.
Good.
Just a quick one. I saw today that Johnny Gaudreau's widow, at his eulogy, gave a very beautiful eulogy and announced that she's pregnant with their third child.
Oh, God. It's
unbelievable, right?
That is horrible.
It's so sad.
Yeah. Very horrible.
Yeah. I gotta give a
lasso to one Charles Barkley. This is a good story if you didn't hear it. There are two young girls. Well, I guess they're now in college, but they were young at the time. Kelsea Johnson and Nakia Jackson. They were students at St. Mary's Academy in New Orleans, and they were challenged for a holiday break for bonus points in their math class if they could solve the Pythagorean theorem, which had vexed people for centuries. And these two girls in this little Catholic school in New Orleans solved the Pythagorean theorem. It took off, like, they didn't even go to Mardi Gras. They just stayed home and studied math. And when Charles Barkley saw the story of that, which was a really touching story on 60 Minutes, he said, "My God, that is pretty awesome. I'm giving that school $1 million." And he's kept his word. He's started making the payments to the school. These girls have gone on to LSU and Xavier University. And I just think Kelsea, Nakia, Charles Barkley, that's a good story. This one's for you.
Charles Barkley and the Pythagorean theorem. Who would have guessed?
Yeah. Who would have guessed it?
All right. Any more lassos? No? All right. Well, we got to do some buzzer beaters here. And I got to take us back to this because we missed this in our NFL recap, fellas. I don't think we talked about this. What was the average passing yards on Sunday?
185.
What in the actual fuck? That's like the lowest in 20 years, isn't it?
I go and look at the good quarterbacks though and see what they threw for.
Yeah.
All right.
Agreed.
Well, It didn't seem like a very...
I mean, Baker threw for 280.
All right, watch that space. Yeah, that brings the average up, though. So
when Caleb Williams throws for 93 yards, it doesn't help.
Well, you would expect Kirk Cousins to do a little better than what he did, right?
Yeah, maybe, right? I don't know. London, if you're Kyle a Minnesota Pitts, fan, Bijan you're like, Robinson. No.
Yeah.
But some of these guys can't throw. I mean, Justin Fields, he's not really a throwing quarterback, and he had three rookies in the mix. It's going to be a little lower.
Just something to watch this year.
Yeah.
What other buzzers?
The Yankees finally called up Yason Dominguez today, their number one player in the minors. He should have been called up months ago. Keep your eye on this guy. I'm going to sound like Joe Biden here. This is no hyperbole. He could be Aaron Judge, like in his talent. I don't know about his.
Where does he play? Where does he play in the field?
Hopefully in left field and get Verdugo out of there.
Wow.
Baseball season over, man. I don't really know.
Well, I'll just say on the continuing of the baseball theme, keep an eye on baseball because I think the seeding is going to be important. These ones and two seeds for both buys and having home field throughout, it's not settled yet. It's making baseball going to be very exciting to the very, very end. Yep. But the Phillies and the Dodgers and the Orioles and the Yankees, and there's other teams breathing down the neck very closely. We do not have a settled – most of the teams are set, but the settled home field is far from it. That's going to make for a very exciting last few weeks. There's a lot still to play for in baseball, including some major records.
Well, the Phillies are definitely set to win it.
But not as a number one or number two seed. They're fighting with the Dodgers. I mean, the Phillies' home field is a major home field advantage. And being away for a seven-game NLCS at Dodger Stadium would be a big difference in being home.
You better sweep us this week, by the way. I'm going to be all over you.
Okay. Put your money on it.
You took two out of three from the O's. This weekend.
Yeah, or the Phillies are going to kill us. By the way, the Commanders cut their kicker. Did you see that?
Thank God.
He missed two, right?
He missed two. He almost missed an extra point. And on a kickoff, he put it out of bounds. So not exactly the best to say. Not to mention we lost a seventh round pick if he played in week two.
That's so such a pressure pick. Job to have. I mean, you two kicks, you're gone. You're out. Don't show up.
I mean, I don't think he was particularly good in the preseason either. I think they kept bringing guys in. I'm not sure how he ended up.
I thought there was a lot of hype for him.
Well, don't forget the thing was that they signed that the Jacksonville kicker McManus in the offseason, and then he ended up with all this harassment of the flight attendants, and so they had to release him in the middle right before camp started.
Back if they dropped those charges,
they did drop it. Well, they were thrown out of court, but. Maybe they will bring him back. I don't know. I doubt that. But they weren't exactly in a very good spot going into camp looking for a kicker. Thank God they fucking released that prick.
My buzzer beater, just real quick, talk about college football. Props to Texas. I mean, Michigan, I know that they lost a ton of guys, but they still have really good defense. I thought Quinn Ewers looked amazing. Really, really good. He's my number one pick for the Heisman right now. SEC, I hate to say it, Texas, Georgia, Ole Miss, Tennessee looked amazing.
Yeah.
And you got Ohio State up there. Interesting.
There's like five teams that don't play in the SEC, right? Everybody else is in that conference this year.
Yeah.
No, they're all the Big Ten, man.
The best team this past weekend was the old Pac-12 that went 3-0 against the SEC. The poor Pac-12. Poor one out for them, too.
Oh, that's right. Oh. All right, speaking of, who's got a poor one out?
Who's got the best impression of James Earl Jones?
That's a tough loss.
Luke.
That's a tough loss.
Luke.
Darth Vader.
I think if this is a sports podcast, we may want to mention Field of Dreams in there somewhere,
well,
right?
I mean, listen, we got
all the
Field of Dreams got screwed. Field of Dreams got screwed on that little contest that we had. But this one's for you, James Earl Jones. You were one of the greatest voices that we will ever have in the movie business.
Amen. Amen. All right, guys, anything else this week? Got another football game tonight. The marathon continues.
When you were the Giants next year.
The SMQBs are Brian Bandwagon Pope, who hails from Dallas, Texas, and has never met a first-place team that he didn't have a personal connection to. Michael Rooster Phelan, hailing from Richmond, and who roots for teams from New York, or is it Boston? I can't remember which it was. One or the other. Also, Patrick Milk Michler from Tampa Bay. And he is still massively in love with Tom Brady and will never get over his man crush on the GOAT. Toby House Milrod, a long-suffering sports fan hailing from Philadelphia, whose Eagles team, they're still looking for another quarterback. And I am Chris Bison Nace, hailing from Washington, District of Champions. Thanks for listening.